Welcome to Memphis Metropolis on WYXR 91.7 FM. I'm your host, Emily Trenum. Memphis Metropolis is all about our city as an urban place, including its neighborhoods, buildings, pathways, and parks, as well as the people who shape it. Join us each week as community leaders and commentators talk with me about our shared built environment. Hey everybody, welcome back to Memphis Metropolis on WYXR 91.7 FM. And my guest this week is Lauren Bermudez, who's the Transportation Program Manager for the Downtown Memphis Commission. And in the show, we're going to be talking, we're going to just dive immediately into the weeds and talk about the core TMA. So, and we'll tell you what that is. I know it's going to be a very interesting topic, but we're going to have to probably just start by defining terms pretty quickly. So, Lauren, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So tell me a little bit about how you got to your present position, how you got interested in transportation and mobility. Share a little bit of that with me.
Yeah, sure. So I grew up in Middle Tennessee. We moved around a little bit, but I ended up going to the University of Memphis for college and studied there. Afterwards, wasn't sure what I wanted to do. I was actually working as a tour guide at Sun Studio, and I was riding my bike everywhere as my main form of transportation here in Memphis. So in 2011, it was a little bit of a different landscape than it is now for biking.
That's for sure.
That's right. So on a whim, I decided to move to Chicago and in February of 1 year, and that was very cold. Don't recommend doing it in February, but it was a good decision for me, and I ended up staying there for about 6 years working in transportation. So I got a job through a nonprofit working in bike and pedestrian safety and education programming, actually at the city's Department of Transportation. So that was a really fun experience, very eye-opening. I got to see a lot about how decisions are made, how the planning process works, when it comes into, you know, what shapes the real world that we live in every day. And I was hooked. So I ended up working up there for, like I said, for about 6 years. I moved back to Memphis in 2019, took a job with the Memphis Medical District Collaborative. And then after a little over a year there, I took a job at the Downtown Memphis Commission to be their transportation program manager. So that's where I am.
I think someone told me, and maybe I'm making this up, that the work you were doing at the Medical District Collaborative just fit better. And maybe it's because of this, what we're going to talk about today, that really, if a person did that, it fit better over there, and you kind of moved sideways to do some of the same work at Downtown Memphis Commission.
I think that's exactly right. I was doing transportation-focused work in the Medical District, which is a little over 2.5 miles, I think, is their kind of focus geography. And it's hard to think about transportation in a like small footprint because that's just not how people move around. So working at the DMC and doing a lot of that same type of programming that was in the Medical District, which is also a part of downtown, makes, I think, a lot more sense because now I'm working with a bigger geography and more stakeholders and more people who are traveling in and around downtown. So it just kind of evolved the work at the Medical District Collaborative into what I'm working on at the DMC. They, of course, have their own transportation programming that they're still doing, and they do great things.
So, so let's just dive in. So the core TMA, so just for people to know, we're talking about the core. We're talking about, in this case, the urban core of Memphis. And we can talk about what that geography is, but that's what core means in this context, right? Okay, so TMA is Transportation Mobility Association, I believe. And, okay, Transportation Management Association. And this is not just a a Memphis invention. This is a kind of entity that exists in different cities around the country. So why don't you just start with sort of an introduction about what a TMA is?
A TMA, also called a TMO, just, depending on where you are, Transportation Management Association, organization, whatever. They are typically standalone nonprofits that work in a particular geography of a city. Usually it's a small neighborhood or a community group or something like that. And they operate different programs and incentives to help people use transportation options with the goal of making those transportation choices more sustainable, more affordable, more reliable, more equitable. Most of the time, a TMA is structured with memberships. So that's like a company that pays in, and then their employees get perks like bike passes or transit passes, or there are HR components that a TMA can help create and craft for a company so that they can deliver special perks to their employees. TMAs typically make sense in places where traffic congestion is a big issue and a pain point for everyday life, which we'll talk about this a little bit, but we don't really have that in Memphis. And they work really well where the benefits of taking transit and carpooling or biking to work can greatly reduce everyday stress.
So what are some, you mentioned, density, which of course Memphis is lacking, but what are some examples, just one or two from other places? It sounds like they're not necessarily citywide entities, but rather they're coalitions of businesses that might be located in a particular area. So give me just a couple of examples of not, best practices necessarily, but other models that have worked well.
Yeah, there's a lot of TMAs that are, I think, kind of setting the standard for how a TMA works in bigger cities, in more dense cities, like you said. So out on the West Coast and the Pacific Northwest, you have a lot of really strong TMA organizations in cities like Portland and cities like Seattle. The opposite, Boston has some great TMAs. In Florida, there are good TMAs where you have business hubs in Miami and Tampa and things like that. So you see them in cities where there's a big workforce destination and where that makes sense that you'd have a bottleneck of people trying to come in.
So would it be accurate to say that, I mean, I see a benefit to this as, getting people out of their cars, getting them onto other modes of transportation, but would it be accurate to say that really they get started to help people get to work in an environment where there's just traffic congestion or it's just too costly?
I think they exist to do that, to help people get to work, but also to help everyday life just be a little bit smoother. And those transactions of how am I going to get from A to B to be a little bit smoother and second nature rather than the stressful kind of like harried, okay, how am I going to get through the traffic? How long is it going to take me? Where am I going to park? And kind of taking out some of that situation and instead turning it into, I can take this bus, I can take this rail, I can ride a bike. And if I do, then maybe I'm going to get a little bit money, a little bit of money back in my pocket versus paying for employee parking or something like that.
Plus, I think I don't think people realize how, if you have other options available, it can really reduce your stress level. I mean, I lived, many years in New York City, and of course, a lot of people who live in the suburbs, largely, travel into Manhattan on, the train or the express bus. And of course, those can be very stressful. You're running to miss, your train leaves at 12:01 and you're 2 minutes late and you miss. That's very stressful. But having said that, once you're on it, you can read the paper, you can get caught up on work, you can visit the bar car if you're taking the train home, and you know, it's just but if you're not exposed to that, I don't think people can even imagine why you would want to do that.
Yeah, no, you're totally right. And so Memphis is a little bit different. The TMA here, the core TMA, it's the only TMA in the city right now, and I'm sure we'll see more in the future. But we don't have those issues of congestion and a lack of parking and it being prohibitive to drive your car everywhere alone all the time. We just don't have that culture. And we might get to it one day. We're seeing it happen in cities that used to be a little bit sleepier. I'm thinking about Nashville right now. And we see traffic has changed in a lot of southern cities. So we could be there. But right now, the core TMA works as a collection of partners and agencies who manage, who operate, who program transportation in Memphis. And it's bringing these partners together so that we have shared conversations and we have time in the same room together so that we can figure out how we are approaching problem solving with our different tools, but how we're using them together.
So before I want to ask one more question just about TMAs in Memphis generally, before we talk more about core TMA. You know, there's so many people in Memphis that are transportation challenged who don't have own cars, or they have unreliable cars, or they share cars. And at the same time, there's employers that are always looking to add to their workforce. And I guess I just have always wondered why that someone didn't take the leadership to start it proactively, because again, people need help. And I don't think people don't realize that it's, if you live in some neighborhoods, you literally cannot get to the hub back and forth on a bus. Like, you cannot, it's not possible. And so to me, and I realized, they cost money, creativity. It's just, I just never really understood why this, and maybe this wasn't at the top of their priority list, but it seems from a workforce development perspective, it would be a worthwhile investment. And I don't know whether you have any thoughts on that or not.
Yeah, I think what you're saying is totally logical and makes sense. I just don't think maybe it goes back to the density issue that problem isn't big enough yet because there aren't enough voices voicing that problem yet. But yeah, it's not at the forefront of on the list of things that people want to solve for right now.
Well, it should be.
I
I'm just
agree.
saying.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah.
So, okay, so the core TMA, so what's the geography of that? And I know and I don't know, the Groove Shuttle has a particular geography, but that's just one of the many commuting options that are part of the TMA work. So what's the geography roughly?
Yeah, roughly where we encompass the central business district. So downtown from uptown to South Main, and then west as far as, into the edge in the medical district. And I say we roughly because I think that depending on the program, depending on the partner, depending on the idea that is at the table. We might be operating loosely around those boundaries.
Well, are there, who are some of the, I guess, two-part question, who are some of the partners, and then are any of the medical institutions, I think of, the private sector partners, are there private sector entities involved?
Yes, there are. So we have a ton of partners, and this is one of the things that I think is the coolest about the TMA. We didn't have this coming together of all these partners before we had the core TMA. So we have the DMC, we have MATA, big partner, we have the Medical District Collaborative, we have the Shelby County Health Department, Commute Options with Innovate Memphis, My City Rides, Explore Bike Share, the City of Memphis, and then private partners as well. We have St. Jude on the advisory committee, we have neighborhood representatives, we have a ton of partners.
So what's the so talk a little bit about, I mean, how did it get established? And then I know that in 2019 there was a parking study published that laid the groundwork. So talk a little bit about that. And because I know parking studies are very, very interesting for people. So certainly to me they are. So talk about how that sort of laid the groundwork for the recommendations that the TMA decided to undertake.
Yeah, they're, parking studies are interesting to me too. So the parking study, first of all, a little bit of background on that. It came about because we were hearing conflicting concerns from stakeholders, from developers, from residents, from employers in downtown. We were hearing two things. One, that we didn't have enough parking. Two, that we had too much parking. So, what do you do with that? Well, you go out there and you figure it out. So that's what we did.
We count the spots.
We counted the spots, exactly. So we found out how many parking spots do we have in downtown. I don't actually have the number to tell you right off the top of my head. Sorry about that. But long story short, we have enough right now, enough for forecasted future amounts of parking that we may need with increased development. We have ample parking in downtown, so that's great. That was one of the first findings of the study. The second is that we have parking, but it's not necessarily located where people want to park. So that's a little bit of an issue. But to summarize the parking study, it put out three big ideas. Number one is to use our existing parking first. So all of that parking that we have, wherever it is, offsite, not near the events or on site, use that. And to use that parking that's a little bit further away, we have to improve the public realm. And you might ding me on public realm, but that
Go
is
ahead and define
okay, good. So
it.
I'm thinking public realm, that's, when you're out and about, it's the environment, it's that shared infrastructure or shared environment of where you are. So think about if you're walking down the street, what makes it feel comfortable for you? Good lighting, ample lighting, maybe artwork or murals or something interesting to look at, maybe storefronts, businesses, things like that, so you feel like you're in a populated, well-traversed area. The sidewalk, is it crummy under your feet, like literally crumbly, or is it, clear and wide and well-paved? So these are things we're thinking about to improve the pedestrian experience, the people's scale experience so that we can make that further away parking feel hospitable. Big idea number two was build anything new really, really sparingly. So you may have heard there is a new downtown mobility hub called the Mobility Center, and it includes parking. However, we use that as a strategic facility, as a catalyst to help enhance some of the other downtown developments. And we took a surface parking lot in the middle of downtown right next to the Orpheum, and we turned it into a mixed retail space building that includes parking. So it's going to help with other downtown improvements, with other economic development. It's also going to help with our world-class Riverfront Park, Tom Lee. So hooray, go check it out if you haven't yet.
Well, don't get people started about the amount of parking that is
Oh,
available
I know.
for that.
I could dig myself into a little bit of a hole with that one, but I'll try not to. Number three, big idea of the parking study is to build out the mobility options toolbox. So that's where we are with the TMA. How do we get people out of their cars once they're downtown? If we know that we don't have the congestion, we don't have the prohibitive parking prices in downtown, and some people might think that we do, but if you look at other cities, we do not. How do we get them to stay out of their cars once they get here? We're not going to get them necessarily to stop driving everywhere, and that's okay. But once they get here, can we make our neighborhood, our downtown community, more vibrant, more friendly by having less cars on the road? It makes it safer. And so, one way that we want to do that is to build out hubs, mobility hubs at our parking garages so that when you get out of your car, you are met with options. You look around, you see Explore Bike Share, you see the trolley, you see great sidewalks, you see things to do. And it's easy to keep you from getting back in that car to drive from your first stop to your second stop and so on.
So before we talk more about the mobility options, going back to the parking study for a second, did that look at, well, it must have looked like who owned the parking, because I remember having a conversation with the late Tommy Pacello before he, when he was just starting in that role, and him telling me that one of the issues is that, you know, every healthcare institution had its own parking garage, its own surface parking, and there was nothing shared at all. It was very inefficient. And so there was a lot of that limits the development opportunities. And it's probably less of the case downtown, but did the study look at that and at all?
Yes. Yes, we did. So a little bit of a two-part to that question. One, our parking ownership in Memphis is very fractured. So yes, there's a lot of lots, there's a lot of surface lots, a lot of garages, things like that, and there's a lot of different owners. So it makes it really hard to standardize any type of experience across parking, which is something we're looking at and we're going to try to figure out, but that's a long road ahead. And number two, yes, for all of these businesses, educational institutions, things like that, that own parking lots, it gets hard to utilize them sometimes because of that fragmented ownership. So one of the things you can look at is shared parking. If there is a use case scenario where, you know, organization one has a parking need and they live next to organization two who owns a parking lot, and it works out mutually in both of their benefit to share that parking lot, that's the best of both worlds. It's really hard to share parking if somebody doesn't want to. And we've looked at this a lot, actually. So I would love to see some shared parking situations in Memphis, but it really only happens if it's an organic fit for both parties.
Okay, that makes sense. Well, I don't want to go too much down a tangent, but I remember that discussion and never thought about that. Of course, if you drive around the neighborhood, it's apparent. And okay, well, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Memphis Metropolis, and I'm talking to Lauren Bermudez, and we're talking about the Downtown Core Transportation Management Association, and really talking about expanding options for people to commute into, out of, around downtown. So that is sort of a segue, Lauren. You talked about the toolkit, and I know some of the programs your partners own are part of that toolkit, but talk about what some of the key tools are that the TMA sort of helps to bring together, coordinate, facilitate, and do a single system, if that's the right word.
Yeah, that's great. So I'll back it up just a little bit and say one of the big functions of our TMA, while it's not a standalone nonprofit, and while we are operating mostly as this meeting point for all of these partners to come together, is that we look for gaps to fill. So if MATA has a program and the DMC has a program and Commute Options has a program, what are we not doing, you know, between the three of those? And then how can we fill in that gap? And so that's what we do. We started a program this past summer, actually. It's called Beginner Biking. And it was an adult bike riding class through the Core TMA to help first-time riders or long-time lapsed riders get back on a bike. And we worked with Explore Bike Share, and we worked with different partners from the Core TMA as instructors. So people got to use the infrastructure that exists. They got to use Explore Bike Share, which they can go out and rent and take a trip anytime they want. They're stationed throughout the city. And we taught people to ride bikes in a two-hour class. It was totally free. They got a helmet. It was really cool. It was something we were able to do because of the Core TMA. And it didn't have an operating budget. It was just simply our time that we put into it. And Explore Bike Share, the donation of the time of the bikes that we used. But that was a great program. So we were excited about that. It had great reception for its first summer. We hope to launch it again. So that's one of the things.
Yeah, I need to take that. I know how to ride a bike, but I lack confidence.
Yeah, I would love to expand this and do a skills course, do a riding and traffic course, things like that. But that's just one example. We can do a lot with the core TMA. We can help develop HR policies that would help businesses launch commuter incentive programs at their companies, like a mobility wallet, for instance. So that's where you could have an employee cash out program where if you have a monthly parking price as part of your employee parking, you could get that money back and it could go towards something else, like transit passes or a new bike or something like that.
Do any employers in Memphis actually offer those kinds of incentives? You can be honest.
I know that some of them do offer Explore Bike Share membership, discounted if not, you know, fully covered, or they will offer some transit passes. What we see is pretty typical in Memphis is that parking is free for employees.
Yep.
And that's an issue because parking is never free. So that parking is being paid for by somebody. Most likely it's coming out of the employer's, you know, annual budget for maintenance and facilities. But what we'd love to see is if that parking cost could be unbundled. It could either be something that comes out of the paycheck, whether that's a boost to the paycheck so that it's then kind of neutralized for the price of parking, but just so you could see it, just so you could see how much does this actually cost every year for me to have this parking space? And then you could decide, do I want to spend my money on that? You know, and if not, what do I want to spend it on instead?
You know, I love this idea. In fact, I'm getting an idea for a program just about, you know, the myth of free parking. Not only does it cost somebody to own and operate it, but also it's a disincentive to use transit. And I always say that people always say that the number one enemy of transit use is free and plentiful parking. I'm going to put that together.
Well, let me add one thing to that, because what you just said is really important. We do have employers and we do have schools in Memphis that do charge a parking fee for employees and for students. And that sounds great because that's, like I said, I want to see that parking unbundled so people know how much it costs. But the thing is, if you don't make it a daily parking program, then people feel like they have to park as much as they can, so they're going to get their money's worth. So you might see a $75 annual parking fee, which is not a lot when you think about the cost of maintaining a single parking stall over a year. That's really, you know, peanuts. But you might see someone who refuses to try any other type of transportation simply because they know that they're paying $75 a year for a parking spot.
Okay, that's interesting. So you said that the core TMA tries to fill gaps, and it seems like the Groove Shuttle also would fit in that category. So remind people what the Groove Shuttle has been going for a couple of years, but I'm guessing a lot of people still aren't really familiar with it. So bring us up to speed on that and what gap that tried to fill and then what the program is.
Yeah, the Groove Shuttle is one of, you know, the programs I'm most proud of as far as transit in the city. It has been a partnership with the Downtown Memphis Commission, with MATA, and with the MMDC. And essentially, it was to fill a gap for last mile commutes in Memphis. This was pre-COVID. We were planning this.
All right, I'm going to ring my bell because I know what that is, but that kind of falls in the jargon category.
It finally happened. last mile connection. So what I mean by that is, if I'm driving into work and I don't have parking near my office, but I have parking six blocks away, I can park six blocks away, but then how do I get to that final destination? So that little bit of space in between where I park and where I go into work, that's your last mile. You can also have a first mile, and that might mean if I was in a different city, been Memphis and I took a commuter train to get to my office, how would I get from my house to that train?
Well, in the bus. I mean, even in Memphis, the bus doesn't go. If you, you know, if the bus is 10 blocks from your house. Anyway. Okay.
Yep.
So the Groove Shuttle was designed to address that issue.
Yes. So there are things called park and rides in Memphis, and that is where you drive to a parking lot or a location. You leave your car, and then you get on the bus or you get on the trolley, and you head into downtown. So those exist. But we were thinking the Groove Shuttle would operate in a similar way. And I said, but, because that was pre-COVID, and then the pandemic happened. We were like, looks like we don't have this parking congestion that we thought we were going to have. And so we had to rethink a little bit. The program shifted from a last mile commuter service to a more robust transit service. And instead, we decided to test this on-demand transit in downtown, really for all types of users. And so what that means is on demand, you get to say when you want the bus, and I'm using air quotes here, bus to come wherever you need within this like 15-mile radius. So you use an app or you use a phone call and you say, hey, I'm at One Commerce Square. I need to get picked up here and I need to go to Crosstown Concourse. And it comes and gets you. We call the service on demand because of that flexible nature. And also we use what we call virtual bus stops. And so that means if I'm at One Commerce Square, it might tell me to walk a block to the nearest intersection. And that's where the Groove Shuttle will pick you up. And the shuttles are actually 6-passenger vans, and they have a branding wrap on them. So you'll see them around town. They say Groove on Demand. They look pretty cute. And it's a great service. We serve over 10,000 rides every month, which I'm very impressed with. And it's great.
And it's like $1.50. It's something like that. It's not very expensive, right?
It's transit. So this is mostly funded through MATA. It is priced the same as a bus trip. It's affordable.
Well, one of the things that impressed me about the program when it first started, and I know this is continuing, is that it's really the geography includes some neighborhoods that are really underinvested, like Iconic Smoky City and New Chicago, where don't necessarily have great bus service, but also just have people that need to get to the doctor and people who need to get to the grocery store. Like, you can use it. You don't have to hire the retired man who a lot of ladies in the neighborhood use, although I'm sure he still needs the business. But you can, if you live in New Chicago, you can call it to go to the grocery store. I mean, it's not just for commuting.
That's right. We actually see that Kroger at Poplar and Cleveland is one of the top destinations for Groove. So we know people are using it for everyday, like, standard of living trips, which is great. That's, you know, that's how we want to see transit being used.
Well, especially in that particular example, well, not to beat a dead horse, but in that particular example, I mean, you see people at Kroger at the bus stop with like 25 of those plastic bags, you know, digging into their hands, waiting for the bus. And they might have to transfer. I mean, it's just not. So it's really a solution to what is a real problem for people.
Yes. Yeah. And we see that. And, you know, MATA has solutions that they're trying to implement with the BRT lines, the bus rapid transit. That means frequent buses coming every, you know, 10 minutes or so, with a dedicated lane that helps that bus be faster and more reliable to use. They're planning one for the Poplar Union Corridor from the University of Memphis to downtown. They're planning one on Cleveland. I forgot the boundaries, but from north to south Memphis. So those would be great connectors that would help exactly who you're talking about, the people waiting at the bus stop in front of the Kroger with the, you know, 15 grocery sacks. I've been that person, you know.
Me too.
I know how uncomfortable that can be. But there's still likely going to be transfers when you get to the end of that route because of what we were talking about earlier, that last mile. So unless I live off the Cleveland bus route, how am I going to get home after I get off that bus? And that's where MATA, you know, not to speak too much for MATA, but that's where they're trying to get creative with more nimble service models like Groove On Demand. And they have a couple of these other on-demand nodes that they've launched in the city. And I'm sure you know they're talking about expanding this service model and taking it citywide.
The Groove model.
Yes.
Well, but it won't be the Groove service.
I'm not sure if it would be continue with that brand or if it would be something different. But most likely what it would be is are separate little zones where you could have a cluster of on-demand vehicles to get you around your neighborhood and connect you to these more high-frequency conventional bus routes. And then you would be, when you got off of that bus, you would be back into another on-demand, high-frequency virtual bus stop zone. Sorry, it's a lot of words.
So what are some of the other tools in the core TMA toolbox that you would think about?
Yeah, another one that I think is really important, and you know, maybe it's a little underutilized, is our sidewalk grant. One of the things I was talking about was how do we make those off-site connections safer, more hospitable, feel more comfortable if you're walking from a garage to a location that you want to go to, whether it's a restaurant or FedEx Forum or something like that. The sidewalk makes a really big difference. So the DMC through the TMA has a sidewalk improvement program, and it's a commercial property grant where we will help a commercial property owner pay for their sidewalk repairs up to $5,000. It's a matching grant, so they have to pay $5,000 and then we pay $5,000, and it's a reimbursement. So we would reimburse after the project is completed. But we launched this because we saw a gap again in programming. The city of Memphis has a homeowners sidewalk grant that they'll issue for homeowners specifically, but there wasn't one to help commercial property owners. And another issue, we saw that there was a lack of recognition that you actually own your sidewalks or you're responsible for your sidewalks if you are a property owner in general, whether that's a commercial property or a residential property. And so a lot of the information in the sidewalk grant is simply about letting people know that it is their responsibility.
Well, and I was you know, involved in this from an advocacy perspective at the very beginning of the residential program. And one of the problems, which I'm sure you probably remember if you were here, is that the city just didn't enforce. Because there wasn't the funding available, that the city just didn't enforce it. So people would have a sidewalk in terrible condition and they didn't get cited. And so, oh, we can't cite people. It might be, you know, I would say in community development, you can't do something because of the proverbial little old lady. You know, like that little old lady owns her house and she's poor, so therefore we can't do anything. It's like, wait a minute. We can help her. And it was a huge, 20, 30 years, I don't think they enforced the ordinances. One of the reasons we have the sidewalks in such bad condition is because there was so much deferred maintenance, and people today still think the city ought to come out and do it. And I'm like, no, that's not how it works. Anyway, I didn't mean to get on a soapbox, but pedestrian infrastructure is a passion of mine.
Yes, me too. I talk about this with all kinds of people, with my professional groups, with my personal groups. Everybody notices the sidewalk.
Well, with the huge, spike in traffic fatalities, Jackson McNeil from Innovate was on the program maybe 6 months ago, right after he went to Innovate, just talking about the Dangers by Design report. And it's just really, And in some areas, the lack of good pedestrian infrastructure, whether it's sidewalks or more frequent crossings or countdown lights, whatever, those all contribute to people getting hit by cars. They just do.
I know that's a really sobering statistics about Memphis when it comes to our traffic violence and the rates of fatalities that we're seeing in our city, and they're going up. And so we really do need, to be very intentional and very serious when we think about these problems because they're preventable.
Absolutely. So what I was looking at the before this discussion, I was looking at some of the material online from the Core TMA, and one thing I saw was a couple of different scenarios of people that could use the combination of tools to get to work. So just take me through a couple of those, like Bob who lives in Cordova. I mean, maybe he's not he could get on the Green Line and run. Anyway, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but people can't always get their minds around what we're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, I would love for Bob from Cordova to ride his bike into downtown. That is a big commute, so go Bob. And people do it. We have our bike warriors that commute into downtown. One of the things they can do if they do commute into downtown is now they can park at the Bike Hub, which is a brand new public membership-based high-volume bike parking facility at the Downtown Mobility Center. It's totally secure bike parking. First of its kind in the city. So we're really excited about that. Another way that we see people getting or getting around and kind of combining these tools is through not necessarily carpool so much in Memphis, but through vanpool. So carpool, I don't know. People don't love carpooling unless they have a really good personal relationship with whoever they're carpooling with, which I'm sure that makes sense. But what we do see in Memphis is vanpool. And this is a Shelby County Health Department, Memphis area rideshare program. It's Commute with Enterprise. And so how that works is an employee group of employees who work together, they sign up to access one of the vans and then they operate it themselves. They figure out who drives or who rides, and essentially Shelby County will help subsidize the cost of that vanpool, and so that they all have a shared ride to work. So that's pretty cool. We see that as an option. We
So
see.
people do utilize that.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
It's
I don't have their.
great.
Yes. It is great. I think it's really cool. I was gonna say, I don't have the number of vanpool signups in front of me, but yes, people use it.
Well, I feel like some of the challenges we some of the factors that we talked about earlier about Memphis, certainly contribute to the lack of carpooling. And, I grew up, I mean, I'm older, and I grew up in the 70s when gas was really expensive. It was the energy crisis of the 70s. And everyone, I mean, first of all, I mean, there was more carpooling. I grew up outside of Hartford. There were people more carpooling anyway. But just people, like everybody carpooled. And I mean, no one wants gas prices to go, especially in Memphis. There's so many low-income people in cars. But that's on the one hand. But gas prices are so low that there's not the financial incentive to carpool. But it's a great mode.
Right. Yeah, I think people just are very particular about their cars, and I think a lot of people see their car as an extension of themselves, of their personality. So it can be very personal to let someone into your car. But the vanpool, I think, makes a really good way of getting around that. And this is obviously that's not true for everyone. I would love to see more carpooling. I just know from us trying to work with this, trying to get more people to sign up for carpool. In the past, we've struggled with that. People are not necessarily super open to it, but like you said, that might change, with other environmental and, condition changes here in Memphis.
Well, I don't feel that way about my car. In fact, I like to ride with other people because I don't like to drive.
That's
So
good. Yeah.
I'm always the person saying, do you want to
Yeah, same.
drive? The Okay, well, that's interesting. Especially in situations where people are working set hours. I mean, I get it if you have meetings outside the office or you go out for lunch a lot, but a lot of people are driving, like, again, to the hub, and they're working from like 10 to 6. And there's a whole bunch of other people working in the exact same hours. And it seems like they're, see, to me, that seems like something that employers ought to incentivize.
Yeah. And a lot of them do. And if you are interested in trying it, try it. I think it's a great way to be resourceful and to save, to be sustainable. And a lot of employers do offer perks, like in those employee parking facilities, they'll save the best spots closest to the entrance for carpool vehicles. So if you're carpooling, you get a better parking spot and you get to walk in more easily.
That's a good idea, and it doesn't cost anything.
No, it's very easy. Yeah. And it's mostly honor system based, but for the most part, people are going to use that the correct way.
So the so where, I guess, sort of not absolute last question, but near the as we're wrapping up. So what's the, I mean, this is, you're playing the long game for sure. And it's like turning the perpetual ocean liner. But where do you see, what is the, not the optimistic future, but sort of the realistic future? How do you see these, the trends playing out in Memphis?
Oh man, I think dedicated funding for transit would be great. I think that we'll see that in the coming years. I hope it's sooner than in the coming years, but I think we'll see a dedicated transit tax, whether it's a 1 cent sales tax or something like that, that gets added to what we pay for the other things that matter to us. Transit should matter to us. So I think we'll see that, and I think that will help a lot. Along with that, I think more predictable, more reliable transit service. These BRTs that we want to see, bus rapid transits that we want to see come online in the next few years. I'm so excited about those. Getting the trolleys back up and running, that would be great.
Right. Well, that's a, the funny thing is the, John Lancaster, who's the planning director at MATA, was on the show when they started testing. They started testing some new kinds of cars on the Madison Avenue line, and just about what the time frame might look like. And of course, there was no particular rapid schedule, but that was like a year and a half ago, I feel like. And it's like, how much testing do you need? I feel like the app, I mean, and maybe I'm crazy, but I feel like the appetite for that service is going to be more now than it was. And I'm with you about the BRT. I mean, I'm very close, I'm within walking distance to it. So I'm like, yeah, I could totally see using that.
Yes. Yeah, me too. I'm really excited about it. I live near the Union route, so can't wait. Another thing, though, I think it's really important. I just talked a little bit about like programming that I'd like to see that I'm excited about, or policy, but we got to see behavior change in Memphis. We have to see a culture shift with the way we drive, the way we disconnect from our environment and from other humans when we get behind the wheel of a car.
Well, how do you persuade people to do that? I agree 1,000%. I mean, part of it would be if parking was more expensive. If there was, or gas was more expensive. The disincentives were such. It's just hard to imagine people doing it on their own, but maybe they will. I hope so.
Yeah, I know. I think that it's a multi-pronged approach. You have to have, I think, the educational components around why it matters. I think you have to have infrastructure changes that make the streets harder to drive the way we see people currently driving. Our streets are really wide. They're like six lanes and they're straight. and the lights are for the most part pretty spread out, so you can easily be going, you know, really, really high speeds down Poplar, down Union, down Madison, and people use them like little highways.
Well, and people come, I mean, people want traffic calming, you know, speed bumps on their own street, but they don't want them on busier streets. But in some places, like other places I visited, even big streets have speed bumps on them. So people can't go 60. Maybe they can only go 40. And just little things to slow the traffic down. And I'd love to see that here.
Me too. We have to make that decision to legislate it ourselves. You know, we'll have to vote in favor of taxing ourselves, of making our streets safer, at the detriment of getting somewhere as fast as humanly possible in your car, you know. But I think that is a logical, sensible, healthy trade-off.
I agree. So if someone hasn't really considered looking at some other options to commute, but they'd like to, how do you recommend they get started?
Man, there are so many ways, but I think one of the best ways would be to go to the Core TMA website. That's coretma.org, and you can get in touch with us. There's a little letter, like a little mail icon right at the top right, and if you click it, you email me. So you can email me, and we can get you hooked up, whether it's with one of the partners from the Core TMA, like Commute Options, who they do a commute buddy program where they'll help you ride your bike to wherever you want to go and practice riding a bike as a work commute or a running errands type of commute. The same with transit. We can help you plan a transit route. There's all types of options. We can get you hooked up with Explore Bike Share if you're curious about that.
Well, and you can look at the tools. I mean, you can do some of that directly yourself. So if you don't know about the Groove Shuttle and you want to know where it goes, you can go to the website, look at the Groove Shuttle, see where the geography is and how to use it. They don't even need to get in touch with you. Okay, that's good information. So anything I didn't ask you that you want to tell the audience?
Anything else that I need to tell the audience?
I have one thing. When that referendum comes about the extra cent in sales tax, for MATA, vote yes.
Vote yes. Yes, vote yes.
I didn't mean to put the words in your mouth, but it seemed like we would agree on that.
Yeah, I think I've essentially have already, you know, said where I stand on that one, so it's totally fine. I think that's it.
Okay. All right. Well, you've been listening to Memphis Metropolis on WYXR 91.7 FM. I've been talking to Lauren Bermudez, who is the Transportation Program Manager at Downtown Memphis Commission and coordinates the work and programs of the CORE Transportation Management Association, which really is just a door through which you can walk. And on a very well-paved sidewalk, a door where you can walk through and access a lot of other information about commuting options and get out of your car.
That's right.
So thanks for being on the program, Lauren. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
You've been listening to Memphis Metropolis on WYXR 91.7 FM. I'm Emily Trenum. Memphis Metropolis airs every Monday at 1, so please tune in again next week. You can listen to past programs on our program page at wyxr.org or on memphismetropolis.com. You can also follow us and send feedback on social media. Now, stay tuned for Memphis Undercover with Nancy.